Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: the Illinois Education Association, Visit Springfield, and PyOrg.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Well, the Illinois State Fair means political days. Both Democrats and Republicans held rallies at the fairgrounds in Springfield. We'll discuss those and what else we learned heading into the fall elections. That and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Professor Emeritus and former Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week is Mawa Iqbal, State House reporter for WBEZ and Illinois Public Radio Stations. So Mawa, thanks for being with us once again. Good to have you back on the show.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me.
So you were at the fairgrounds this week, and Wednesday, for those that didn't know, is usually Governor's Day, and that is designed basically as a rally day for whichever party controls the governor's mansion, that being Democrats. Right. So how was the mood for Democrats this year with an election just a couple of months away?
So, you know, the Democrats, they control the legislature here in Illinois, right? So the mood is always very upbeat and positive. The Governor's Day kind of serves as sort of an unofficial start to the campaign season. And we've got quite a few races coming up where it's expected the Democrats will cleanly sweep again, as they have in recent years. But you know, it was also very a somber kind of, or I don't know if somber is the right word, but more of a celebratory kind of bittersweet send off to U.S. Senator Dick Durbin as well. That was a big theme for the day. At the breakfast, that the Democratic County Chairs Association breakfast that usually happens before the state fair rally, they had Durbin signs, and they also had a lot of lawmakers and elected officials, political luminaries, like former President Barack Obama did like a video message that just kind of memorialized Durbin and the work that he has done and all the years that he served as senator. So it was a very kind of upbeat and positive rally for the Democrats. You know, obviously, again, they have a lot of momentum when it comes to winning these statewide races and these legislative races, just up and down the ballot. Many of them focused their attacks on Trump, President Trump, and how the Trump administration's economic policies have hurt or even targeted Illinois in many cases. That definitely has been a theme for the past couple of years, like since Trump announced that he was running again for president. And yeah, sticking to message, right? It seemed like really the Democrats wanted to emphasize that Trump and the Republicans are the main sort of target, and it is up to them to make sure that Illinois remains a Democrat majority state, not only in the legislature, but also in these constitutional offices that are up for re-election.
Now, Charlie, Trump, it makes sense, I think, for him to be a target for Democrats, not just because he is so polarizing. And in Illinois, he has not done well in his three times really being on the ballot, but his two wins, he did not do terribly well in the state overall. But also, you've got an economy where people are very concerned about it. The ag economy is concerning right now. You have a war that's going on. There's just a lot of things for Democrats to choose from. So it makes a lot of sense. Of course, Donald Trump's not on the ballot this time in Illinois, but the Republican policies, which are backed by many of these Republicans who are running in the state of Illinois, it just makes for a good target, it seems.
Yeah, and that seemed to be the message. The focus was on Donald Trump, and there was not a whole lot of comment about who the Republican candidates are. Bailey and Aaron Del Mar, his lieutenant governor candidate, and the down ballot candidates, who are basically unknown. And the Democrats focused on Donald Trump and basically said that the problems that consumers are facing with higher prices and unavailability of goods, that has to do with Donald Trump's foreign policy, particularly the war that he got us into with Iran, and the impact economically through having oil shipments through the Strait of Hormuz being blocked. And the Democrats basically laid it all on Trump. Now, the kind of overshadowing the Democrats, though, was this whole notion of the corruption, and particularly the questions surrounding how Speaker Chris Welch has handled allegations of sexual harassment from some Democrats in office. And it was interesting because Welch was not there at the state fair. And usually both legislative leaders and a lot of lawmakers will be there, but Welch was not there. And his explanation was that his daughter was starting seventh grade and he wanted to be there for her for the first day of school, which is plausible, but it's also convenient in that if you wanted to be sort of cynical, you would say there probably weren't very many Democrats who would like to be pictured with Chris Welch that would find its way into Republican negative campaigning. I think it was interesting because Pritzker has also urged Welch and the Democrats to do something quickly to deal with this whole question of the political culture in the legislature that has long tolerated harassment of women. And Pritzker said at the fair, and here's a quote, "There are models for sexual harassment policies across the nation, in legislatures, in large corporations, in nonprofit organizations. It seems like it would be relatively easy to look at a few of these models, have a few people get together around that, and make a decision about which one works best for the state of Illinois. We've got to make sure people know what the reporting mechanisms are and that it is dealt with in a timely fashion." So Pritzker is urging the lawmakers to do something about it. As I say, that was sort of the shadow hanging over what was otherwise a pretty festive day for the Democrats. And another thing that was interesting, there was, at least in the reporting that I read, and Mawa, you were there, and you would know if this is correct or not, there seemed to be more attention being paid on who was going to be the next mayor of Chicago than there was any concern about whether or not the Democrats were going to be able to elect their ticket.
Ma, was the Chicago mayoral race, you mentioned at least a couple of statewide office holders currently have already announced they're going to be running next year for that. That did creep into this whole rally thing. We did hear about that and see some campaigning going on.
Right. We have two mayoral candidates who are currently statewide office holders. So it's Comptroller Suzanne Mendoza and Secretary of State Alexi Janulis. The thing about Janulis is that he's running for re-election as a Secretary of State while also looking at the Chicago mayoral position and trying to basically defeat Brandon Johnson. Of course, there are a lot of people who have thrown their hats in the ring for the Democratic nomination to be Chicago mayor. But the two that were there at the fair, Alexi and Susanna, they weren't openly hostile with each other. But during her remarks at the brunch, Mendoza did kind of suggest that, you know, the person who would be mayor, the voters need to elect someone who is dedicated to that job and that job only. And then afterwards, sort of caught up with Alexi at the state fairgrounds and just asked him like what he thought about that sort of not so subtle jab at him. He said, well, you know, it is kind of awkward coming from her, but you know, he kind of basically just brushed it off and said that he's more focused on, you know, the voters of Chicago and doing the best job that he can. So it was a bit, just a slight tit for tat that kind of made things a little bit interesting, but for the most part, it did, things were pretty tame. Like Charlie said, you know, there was definitely this shadow hanging over this sort of like cloud that was kind of looming over the day about Welch, and his absence was pretty noticeable, you know. But like Charlie said too, like if you're cynical, you know, one could say that that at an event where there's so many press too, that perhaps the speaker didn't want to encounter a whole gaggle of reporters. And it's important to note too that a few weeks ago, his office was offering select media outlets interviews, like one-on-one interviews, where the speaker basically just said that he owns up to his mistakes, and he did everything that he could in his power, and that he's committed to reforming the sexual harassment reporting process and the workplace culture in the legislature. But he didn't offer, or the office did not offer that same one-on-one interview to WBEZ or the Chicago Sun-Times or Chicago Tribune. So it was like a select media tour. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see too many House Democrats at the day, to be honest. I saw a lot of senators, state senators, but not too many House Democrats. I did talk with Representative Mary Beth Canty, who's chair of the Women's Caucus, and she basically, she didn't really abandon Welch, and that was kind of the thing. Like any elected official that you got on the record, whether it was Mary Beth Canty or Governor Pritzker, no one really abandoned Welch or threw him under the bus per se, but they focused more on, like what can we do moving forward to make sure that these reporting processes are better and that people feel protected.
We'll be back with more on State Week in just a moment.
Support for State Week comes from the members of the Illinois Education Association, serving 135,000 members of educators and support professionals around Illinois. IEA's mission is to promote excellence and equity in public education. When schools and communities unite, we all win. Resources and membership information at IEANEA.org.
We're back on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with Charlie Wheeler, and our guest this week is Mawa Iqbal of WBEZ and Illinois Public Radio. Mawa, let's turn our attention to Republican Day at the fair. It was a little less of a large event. It always is for a party that's not in power of state government. But what did you hear during the speeches and the rally during that day?
So Republican Day, definitely one of the large recurring themes. If it wasn't attacking Governor Pritzker for high property taxes and just high taxes in general, it was definitely attacking House Speaker Welch over all of this controversy that his office has been mired in the past few weeks. As we've talked about, there's the former state rep Harry Benton, who's a Democrat. Was found to have sexually harassed a former staffer, or several people had come forward about his inappropriate behavior, and it also came out that Speaker Welch's office perhaps knew about it, but then didn't remove him when they found out about the allegations. Then there's also allegations that the speaker himself had acted inappropriately towards that same staffer who lodged that complaint against Benton, sending her heart-eye emojis allegedly that made her uncomfortable. And then the morning of Republican Day, there was this Republican consulting group called Link Strategies released this video interview. It was like a 44-minute long video interview with this woman who is a former staffer for State Representative Amy Breal. And she alleged that Breal had not only sexually harassed her multiple times, but also supplied her with unlimited amounts of Adderall and promised marijuana as a bonus for working so hard, and just all kinds of inappropriate behavior, allegations of inappropriate behavior. What is interesting to note, though, is that the Republican consulting group that released and produced this video has worked with the Republican challenger for Breal's seat. And Breal, back in 2024, faced off with the same challenger and won by a very, very slim margin, by like hundreds of votes. So, it's a very it's not a safe seat for Democrats. It's and Amy Breal, the state representative, is also a member of this working group that House Speaker Chris Welch has formed, sort of in the wake of all this, with the intention of investigating best practices and in the workplace and how to control for like harassment and things like that. But it's something that the Republicans have definitely ran with. They've released several ads, and even on Republican Day, released a TV ad that was kind of in the likeness of a state fair and sort of poking fun at Welch for allegedly sending these hard eye emojis to the staffer. They also put up signs around the fairgrounds saying that Welch was covering up sexual harassment. So, that was a pretty dominant theme, I would say. House Minority Leader Tony Macomb said that, that this is a Speaker Welch problem. This is not a problem with the Illinois House or even the Illinois Senate for that matter. It is a speaker problem. And she has been one of the more vocal Republicans to call for Welch to resign. So aside from that, Republicans definitely stuck to script when it came to going after Illinois Democrats for being, raising property taxes and just making it more expensive for people to live in Illinois. And Darren Bailey, when he gave his remarks at the rally, even suggested that Pritzker not only is an out of touch billionaire, but also is focusing so much on President Trump and on national politics because he is hoping to run for president in 2028. So it was a pretty but you know what's so fascinating about these days is that it's definitely a barometer for the health of the party, right? And like we mentioned earlier in the show, Republicans are in a minority, and all these constitutional offices, many of these statewide races, it's favored that Democrats will sweep them up. So going into this election season, we talked with the new Republican Party chair, Bob Grogan, who said that it's really going to be up to the Republican Party to sort of unite, right? But behind one message, which is about affordability and how to make sure that people are not feeling squeezed in Illinois.
Well, Charlie, yeah, as Democrats stayed focused on Trump, Trump was less of a focus for Republicans. And I think that probably makes a lot of sense, too, for some of the same reasons we talked about earlier. Questions about the economy, the ongoing war. They want to stay focused on J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats here in Illinois.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of ironic because the Republicans are saying, well, here's Darren Bailey. Everywhere we go, we hear the same thing. Illinois is too damn expensive. It's time to change it. Property taxes crushing homeowners. Electric bills are exploding. Groceries, insurance, gas, childcare, they all cost more. Everything costs more under J.B. Pritzker. After nearly 8 years in office, the excuses are over. What they kind of conveniently ignore is that, and this is something the Democrats stressed, Trump's tariffs, the war with Iran, and other things that he's done are largely contributing to the price of consumer goods and gasoline. But they're in really tough shape if you think about it. Not only do they not control any statewide offices, not only are they a super, super minority in the General Assembly, but their financial prospects don't look all that good either. J.B. Pritzker, of course, is a billionaire, and he has the ability to put unlimited money into his campaign. A week or so ago, he put a $65 million check into his campaign fund, which will not only help him, but will be used to support Democratic candidates up and down the ballot. Bailey, on the other hand, has a few $100,000 in his account. So that's a big disadvantage for him. Republicans also face, in the legislative races, they face a highly gerrymandered map, favor the Democrats. They also have only three congressional seats, again, because of the gerrymandered map that favors the Democrats. So they got a lot of disadvantages going into this. They're basically pinning all the troubles that the state is facing. They're blaming it all on J.B. Pritzker and hoping that some of it will stick.
We'll be back with more on State Week in just a moment.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling change makers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, plan, implement, evaluate. Services and information at pyorg.org.
Well, we're back on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with Charlie Wheeler and Mahwah Iqbal. Charlie, you mentioned just before the break there that the Republicans are pinning their hopes on a few things, in a few messages they are trying to get out, including affordability. And one of the things they are targeting, of course, is this week we saw the Illinois Tollway Board announce a rate increase. And it also means that tolls will be going up based on inflation over the next several years as this moves forward also. I guess this is a good strategy to, you know, anytime that costs are increasing, of course, you're going to look for those to be, an instance in which you can catch on to something during an election. But is it a fair argument that's being made by Republicans?
I would argue that it's sort of disingenuous, because if you think about it, the toll increases, what the money is going to be used for is to, the estimate from the tollway board is that the increases in the tolls will bring in roughly an extra $1 billion each year, and they're going to use it for construction projects, add lanes in some areas to take care of needed maintenance. And so if you look at what's happening, that this is something that needs to be done, then the question is, how do you finance it? And if you say, well, we should not have toll roads, then where does the money come from? The logical answer would be, well, from the state's road fund, which the tollway does not get anything from at the moment. And so if the tollway and that network of basically interstate highways around Chicago that it manages, if suddenly those costs are also competing for road fund dollars with projects, DOT projects across the state, what kind of an impact might that have on downstate road construction and road work? So I'm thinking you could maybe argue that, oh, this is horrible, they're raising tolls on the people in Chicago. But me living in Chicago, in Springfield, who uses the toll road once a year, going north, coming south, going up to northern Wisconsin for vacation, I'm not really, and maybe this is selfish of me, I'm not really that concerned what people in Chicago are going to have to pay. I'm more worried about what the impact would be on projects in Springfield, and I suspect other downstairs would feel the same way if they thought about it. So this is basically money that is going to be used for Chicago area projects, and it's money that's going to be paid for by users and not by downstaters. So I think the argument that the Republicans are going to make is, oh, this is horrible, I'm not sure it's a very sound argument to make outside of maybe the Chicago area. Mm. And the tollway said that the increase is going to cost the a passenger vehicle with an I-pass, which is probably the most common form of using the tollways up in the Chicago area. They'll pay an average of 11 cents per mile, which is still below the national average of 16 cents per mile. But the new funds, as I say, are going to be used for tollway projects, and they're not going to be requiring any spending from people who don't use the tollways. They're not going to come from the road fund, in other words.
Mahwah, let me have you just fill us in quickly on funeral homes. These are in the news right now because of an incident that occurred in the Chicago area. We've seen other incidents as well. There's a lot of concern over how these are regulated, how they are inspected. What are you hearing right now? What's going on?
Yeah, so right now the situation that happened in Chicago was there were 56 decomposing bodies discovered by local authorities at the South Chicago Chapel Funeral Home. And this, unfortunately, is not the only incident that's happened in recent years. We've also had a couple of years ago, there was an incident in Carlinville, Illinois, which is closer to us here, where a funeral home director had mistakenly swapped ashes for up to 800 cremated remains. And That was something that, the family members, the loved ones, sort of banded together with lawmakers to pass tighter regulations on crematoriums, giving the comptroller the authority to do exercise more oversight and to do more inspections. But after this South Chicago incident, a lot of lawmakers have been calling to question just what laws does Illinois have on the books? And it seems like, compared to other states, Illinois is actually pretty far behind. We're one of a handful of states that does not regularly inspect funeral homes. That's also because we don't actually license funeral homes at their physical locations. We have one agency that oversees funeral director licenses, and another agency, the comptroller's office, that oversees crematoriums and cemeteries, but we don't have any agency or board that oversees the homes at their physical locations. A lot of lawmakers are calling that into question. In talking with some Democratic lawmakers, as well as a Republican lawmaker, State Senator Steve McClure, who's from the area, it seems like there is momentum from lawmakers to try to introduce something to sort of plug up some of these loopholes that are in the regulations.
And maybe we'll see that as early as this fall or certainly next spring. Let's go to our notes from the field, and Mawa, we'll stick with you.
Yeah, so like I had mentioned with the funeral home, I'm kind of doing a follow-up story, just trying to nail down like what sort of criminal penalties exist already. And if there aren't really any criminal penalties for funeral directors, like what are lawmakers specifically looking at? Like, are they looking at felonies or misdemeanors? Like what class of felonies would they be? That sort of thing.
All right, and Charlie.
This week, federal prosecutors in Chicago said they weren't yet ready to say whether they'll retry a couple of defendants in the ComEd 4 case who were convicted of 2023 of bribing former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. And the prosecutors appeared before a U.S. district judge and said that they weren't sure whether they were going to retry Mike McClain, who's a former longtime Springfield lobbyist, former state lawmaker, and very close friend of Madigan, and former Commonwealth Edison CEO Ann Permaggiore. In April, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago ordered the release from prison of McClain and Permaggiore, saying that their conviction was flawed. But the court added, "Do not misread our opinion. We are not suggesting that Permaggiore and McClain are innocent, only that their convictions were flawed and that they have a right to see their sentences vacated." And so now the U.S. Attorney's Office is trying to decide, should we retry them or not?
Okay. Well, we're out of time for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and Mawa Iqbal of WBEZ and Illinois Public Radio. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.